Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Procter & Gamble, I want to welcome you to this event. So my name is Ryan Shaughnessy. I'm the site leader at the Iowa City Beauty Plant. And it is our 14th year of being the lead sponsor of this event. And so what that honor gives me is a chance to say welcome to you all, you guys, and I will try to do that as quickly as possible. This is exactly the small, intimate gathering that Nancy explained to me when I signed up for this. So let me tell you a little bit about what we do here in, for P&G. So like I said, I am the site leader of Iowa City Beauty Care site. We've been in Iowa City since 1956, so we're approaching our 70th year in the community, and we're awful proud of that. At the Beauty Care site, we make products you guys probably use every day. If you don't, you should. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, things like Herbal Essence, Head & Shoulders, Old Spice in the red bottle, things that you probably love and should be using every single day. We're also the home of functional fibrous technology for beauty. So it's a fancy way to say it's Olay Melts and Gems Hair Care. It's a really new form of the products we make. You can get it in Target. I wish you would get it in Target. And it's the only place in the world where this is made and given to the consumers here in Iowa City. So that kind of innovation we're awfully proud of. Down the street from our world care, from our beauty care site is our brush site. So this site has been in the community almost as long. So it started in 1958, started as Owens Brush, it became part of Gillette, and became part of the P&G family in 2005. And so they make manual and power toothbrushes that are sold in North America and all over the world. Also great products. I've switched to their IO, their high-end toothbrush here recently, and my dentist has never been nicer to me. So I highly recommend that as well. What ties these sites together is our purpose. And what we are really focused on is delivering value, delivering quality, delivering superior products to our consumers so we can make their lives better in small ways each and every day. And that purpose shows up in the work we do on a daily basis to make great products. It also shows up in the way we support our communities. So I'm proud of the way our folks show up at things like United Way, show up at Habitat for Humanity, show up in making our community a better place. And that is a key part of what we do. That's a big part, and because that's where the community we live in. Like, well, this is where we raise our family, this is where we send our kids to school, this is where we choose to make our lives. And that's a big part of what makes P&G successful, is that we make sure that the folks we bring into organization are folks that want to make a big difference in the community. We continue to be excited about the future of P&G in Iowa City and the future of manufacturing in Iowa City. We're investing in additional capacity here. We're investing in new technologies. We're investing in growing capabilities and careers here in Iowa City in manufacturing that in ways that help build our community. And what the great thing and why we help sponsor this event is that mission ties very closely to what Greater Iowa City does. So building communities, building coalitions, innovating the community is a big part of what Greater Iowa City is about. And that's why we love to partner with this organization. So again, thank you for letting me speak to this small, intimate group of folks, Nancy and the team, and thank you for everything you do to support our community. I'm gonna turn it over to Ginny to talk through the next part of the program. So thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Ryan. What a fantastic evening. Oh my goodness, I can see what he's saying, right? You look out over all of these people. But this is a truly wonderful event. Thank you all for taking time to celebrate, learn, and fellowship together tonight. I have the joy of getting to just show a lot of gratitude for the next few minutes and share a little bit about why I'm a part of this organization. So part of this would not be possible, I would say actually all of it, but many hands, to our sponsors. So one of them you heard from, right? Our lead sponsor, Procter & Gamble Oral and Beauty Care. Right? They are not only a cornerstone employer in our area, they are a true partner in workforce development, innovation, as you heard, and opportunity. Their dedication to creating high-quality jobs and supporting career pathways has helped thousands of families build their futures right here in the community. Thank you very much for not only being our lead sponsor for this event, but for your many contributions to our community. We are also deeply grateful to the Community Foundation of Johnson County, our partnership sponsor, whose commitment to strengthening local philanthropy and community well-being makes a lasting impact across our entire region. Through their leadership in supporting nonprofits, investing in local initiatives, and expanding opportunities for all residents, they play a vital role in building a resilient, thriving community. Their dedication to collaboration, which is one of my favorite words, and long-term community growth truly elevates the work we're celebrating tonight. Thank you. Another special thank you to our presenting sponsors. Sorry, you can clap for all of them when I get through. No worries. So one of our presenting sponsors, Grand Appliance, is a family-owned appliance, electronics, and mattress business with locations all over the Midwest, including multiple stores in our region. And being a part of a family business, I love seeing other family businesses participate with us. Their incredibly high level of customer service and long-term partnerships are a wonderful business partner for our community and region. And another thank you to our other presenting sponsor, Newman Munson Architects. Their design leadership has been instrumental in advancing key Greater Iowa City initiatives and so far beyond. Their commitment to thoughtful, community-driven development truly strengthens our region, and we're grateful for their partnership tonight. We also want to sincerely thank our table sponsors, whose names are displayed on the screens beside me. Your support is vital. We're truly grateful for the role you play in making this event meaningful and impactful for our community. And if you were invited by one of these sponsors, I hope you feel the same gratitude we do for the commitment to making our community stronger. Tonight, we also want to recognize our visionary investors, whose names you'll see displayed as well. This group represents organizations that consistently step forward to strengthen our region through leadership, partnership, and long-term commitment. We are so thankful for the vision they bring to our community and for the meaningful impact they help make possible. We're equally thankful for our advisor level 4 investors also shown on the screens. These partners provide essential support that fuels the programs, the once again collaboration, and forward momentum we're celebrating tonight. Their steady dedication lifts our work and helps ensure our community continues to grow and thrive. And in addition to investors, a key part of our work involves public-private partnerships and advocacy, led by the fantastic Mackenzie DeRue. We are so thankful for our elected officials, not only locally and regionally, but also at the state and federal levels. So at this time, we would like all elected officials and their staff, who are so critical as well, at every level of government to please stand and be recognized. You didn't know this, here you are. Thank you all so much. And now you all know where to find them, at which tables, if you have any things to ask them. Speaking of gratitude, I am so grateful to be a part of Greater Iowa City, Inc. I am truly honored to serve as the chair this year. I chose to step into this role because I wanted to help sustain and build on the incredible momentum our organization has been in promoting, building, economic development, strategic partnerships, and so many other things across our community. To be honest, I also wanted the opportunity to serve alongside some of the finest individuals in our area. And our board and staff are filled with them. John Maxwell often reminds leaders who want to grow to surround themselves with people who are more skilled and impactful. And that's exactly what serving on this board does for me. Each member challenges me to think more deeply, act more intentionally, and continuously grow. And honestly, it brings me great joy to collaborate with them. Leading alongside these positive change makers is a privilege, and I want to take a moment to thank each of them. Serving on this board requires commitment and a deep care for our community, and I'm grateful to be a part of a team that embodies both so fully. At this time, I would like to recognize the incredible members of our Executive Council. And as I call your name and your organization, please stand and remain standing until everyone has been recognized so that we can all see and celebrate the remarkable team driving the mission forward. Nick Lindsley, Newman Munson Architects. John Landon, Frederickson Byron. Jeff Fruin, City of Iowa City. Patrice Carroll, Imon Communications. That's right, I see you. You kept stand. Thank you. Kelly Hayworth, City of Coralville. Ryan Heyer, City of North Liberty. Denise Jamison, Iowa Healthcare. Catherine Kuhnert, Mid-American Energy Company. Pete Mathis, University of Iowa. Todd Means, Midwest One Bank. Lisa Schilleny, Hills Bank. Robin Thurm, Civco Medical Solutions. Vic Israni, Green State Credit Union. And Aaron Shane of Johnson County. Please give them a warm thank you. Thank you all so much for your service, leadership, and support, not only of this organization, but our entire community. You are making a real difference. As members of the Executive Council, we would all agree that we could not serve as effectively as we do without the incredible work of the Greater Iowa City team. You are some of the most hardworking, passionate, and dedicated individuals I have had the pleasure to work with, and I've worked with some doozies. I'm truly honored to be on this journey with you, driving positive change together. And before, as our next change leaders, positive change leaders, start making their way up here, please give just a warm thank you again to all of our fantastic sponsors and supporters here this evening. So I'd like to now invite these two positive change makers, Dr. Sunday Goshet and Ricardo Rangel Jr., up to the stage. They are excellent counterparts to the work of Greater Iowa City, and we're thrilled to have them. And it's my honor first to introduce Ricardo Rangel Jr., a dedicated realtor at Leppick Krieger Realtors and a proud ambassador of Greater Iowa City, Inc. And in that role, Ricardo is deeply committed to supporting local businesses, welcoming new enterprises, celebrating milestones, and forging the connections that strengthen our regional economy. He's a true connector and champion for growth, helping people across the community resources, helping them access community resources, and encouraging every corner of Johnson County to thrive. Please welcome Ricardo Rangel Jr.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Please give it up for the Iowa City, Greater Iowa City staff for putting this event together. Thank you, and thank you all for being here. Instead of speaking, I thought it might be fun to do an interpretive dance, so just kidding. So I have been a realtor here for 11 years, and I have been a Greater Iowa City ambassador for 3, and when I interviewed, you know, they do like this application process. We went to this interview and they asked me, what are you hoping to get out of being an ambassador? And I'm thinking, well, I'm signing up for volunteer responsibilities. I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about what I was going to get out of this. I was thinking more, what am I going to give to this program? So all I did was show up, really. That's the bare minimum anyone can do, show up to events. And I'm inspired by my fellow ambassadors who also showed up, by Greater Iowa City staff who are always there. Even if the weather was bad, even if we've had a long week, we were always there. We showed up to celebrate and support our investors. So thank you all. Showing up is so important. And you know, after the shutdown and the mandatory isolation of 2020, I feel like a lot of people kind of forgot how fun it was to go to an event, to go shake hands with someone, to go visit a business you might have never visited before, and to build a relationship in the real world. And now more than ever, I think it's so important to make an effort to get out of the house and go meet people in the real world, right? Artificial intelligence is not going to build a relationship for you. It's not going to shake a hand. It's not going to support your neighbor. It's not going to build a relationship for you. So I encourage you all and I challenge you all to show up somewhere, go to an event you've never been to before, visit a business you've never visited before, and maybe even today, talk to somebody new and make a new connection. So thank you. Now I'm pleased to introduce Sunday Goshit. He's involved in IC Compassion, Iowa City Foreign Relations, a UI professor, and a fellow immigrant and new US citizen.
Good evening, everyone. Esteemed members of this great community, I'm honored and humbled to stand before you today, and I want to share a reflection on a quarter century of life and growth in the place we call home, Iowa City. My journey began in August of 2000. I arrived at Eastern Iowa Airport landing in Cedar Rapids. I was frankly bewildered to find myself in the middle of a vast cornfield, having expected a landscape of skyscrapers. That moment, though, marked the start of my 25-year journey, a path that has seen me evolve from a hopeful student into a dedicated community member, a leader, and a husband, a father of four, a grandfather of five. And just 3 weeks ago, after 25 years of calling this place home, I passed my interview to become a citizen of the United States. Thank you. Thank you. Marking a deeply meaningful milestone. My wife, Regina, and our four children joined me a year later in December of 2001. I initially came with a clear mission of earning a PhD in physical geography with an emphasis in climatology. My plan was to return to Nigeria to mentor my students. I feel deeply privileged to have studied at the University of Iowa's Geography Department, known globally for its pioneering work in the quantitative revolution in that discipline. Thank you. The path has been eventful, filled with hills and valleys, yet the opportunity for knowledge was endless. I secured a PhD and two master's degrees from Iowa. And after that, I decided to go to Kirkwood Community College, got four certificates, and earn an associate degree. But true education happens in service. My commitment to this community has defined me. I served in student leadership roles at the University of Iowa, like the president of the African Students Association, a member of the Graduate Students Senate, and the Graduate Students Union, COGS. So I'm a union member. I have dedicated myself to organizations across our county as the immediate past president of IC Compassion, the current president of Iowa City Foreign Relations Council, and on the Community Advisory Board of the Holden Cancer Center, among others. My most rewarding employment, however, was working for a decade as a direct support professional for people with disabilities at Systems Unlimited. And I'm privileged to chair the planning committee of the award-winning African Festival of Arts and Culture. To me, these accomplishments are not just accolades. They are tangible evidence of the limitless opportunities that exist in a community that opens its arms to everyone. The spirit of collaboration embedded in Greater Iowa City is what truly defines Johnson County. My best encounter with this came during the African Festival launch. The idea was considered a difficult sale, but the city managers of Iowa City and Coralville took a gamble on us. Then when I was advised to reach out to Greater Iowa City, I learned a crucial lesson. As my people, the Ngas people of Central Nigeria would say, Arzunkisunka, the road to patience, to goodwill, is never too far. When my co-chair Brady and I met with Katie and Nancy, they didn't just give us a list. They made the connections. And we think Iowa City, we got the support needed to make it happen. And last month, we had a very successful second edition. This collaborative spirit was also critical to two major civic achievements that I was privileged to be part of. The Johnson County welcoming community designation was crucial for formalizing our commitment to inclusivity. This success required the leading role of Greater Iowa City in collaboration with the county and other organizations, creating a policy framework that mirrored an open-armed spirit that I have experienced over 25 years. Perhaps most vital was the underestimated small business grant. Greater Iowa City coordinated the allocation of grants to 58 underestimated small businesses, providing a lifeline to undeserved communities. This injected critical support into minority-owned, women-owned, and other marginalized businesses that often face the greatest barriers to capital. These efforts represent the dual pillars of a strong community, social inclusion, and economic empowerment. That, my friends, is the feeling I have for Greater Iowa City. It is a spirit of trust, of open doors, and of taking a chance on the new face in the cornfield. It is a spirit that has allowed a student from Nigeria to become a rooted member and a committed community leader. For 25 years, this community has been my classroom, my workplace, and my home. I arrived seeking knowledge, and I found something infinitely more valuable, a foundation on which to build a life, a family, and a purpose. I want to thank all of you for the opportunities you have afforded me, and for providing the greatest treasures, and for proving that the greatest treasures are not found in skyscrapers, but in the rich, fertile ground of a welcoming heartland. Let us continue to build bridges, support our neighbors, welcome the stranger, support startups and existing businesses, and uphold the inclusive spirit that defines us. And now, I want to sincerely thank you and take this opportunity to introduce Nancy Bird, the president and CEO of this amazing organization. Please give a hand for her.
Thank you so much, Jenny, Ricardo, and Sunday. Isn't that eloquent? I knew it would be tough to follow Sunday. He is poetry in motion. But these three and their stories, as well as Mark Kaufman's coming up, are really our inspiration tonight. Great origin stories that are as varied as they are true about being part of something bigger. Tonight, my job is really to report on the past year for the Greater Iowa City Inc. team, which has really been about coalition building in action. Finding opportunities to work together on things we cannot do alone and setting forth a plan of action has been the hallmark of much of our work over the past year. It has been a tumultuous year of political and economic change. Mergers and acquisitions of local banks and media companies are changing our very landscape as we speak. At Greater Iowa City, Inc., we remain steadfast in our mission to support business, invest in strategic initiatives, and advocate for the economic resiliency of all through the lens of our values. We value a growth mindset. We support a respectful culture through positive civic dialogue. We value service and therefore place high value on action. One of the hardest and yet most important facets of this work is the decision to do, to keep going, and to be okay with making a few mistakes along the way. One of my proudest moments with this organization is establishing a team that can do just that. And finally, trust. We value being your trusted partners, and we want you to value us the same. Sitting on the table in front of you is our 2025 annual report, Coalitions in Action. In it, you'll find that economic development is definitely a team sport. We are just as proud to partner on initiatives as we are to lead and work alongside our colleagues in the field. I'm so happy to have the trifecta of University of Iowa leadership in the House tonight with President Barb Wilson, Athletic Director Beth Goetz, and Vice President of Medical Affairs Dr. Denise Jameson, as well as our municipal partners, business and industry leaders, and nonprofit entities. Collectively, we are a huge team of like-minded collaborators. My heartfelt gratitude goes out to these organizations and your commitment to bettering our community. While I am honored to stand here tonight and share the progress of our organization, I'm even more thrilled to highlight the work of our incredibly talented and empowered staff leaders. Organizations like ours require a bit of hustle to succeed, and this team is definitely fit for it. I have to hustle every day to keep up. They have the technical capabilities to be able to support the mechanics of getting programs, events, and initiatives stood up. This is a team that gets things done, and my heart has grown twofold for the love of them. And not to forget our three Iowa and one Drake intern, Hannah, Eli, Elizabeth, and Amy, you're part of the family too. So with the Greater IC team, please stand and let's give them a round of applause. The work of our organization, as you know, is guided by the all-in vision of Better Together, and Katie Gerlach, the Executive Director and our Vice President of Programs, ensures continuity with our partners as we strive to implement its five pillars. Greater IC leads pillars 2, 3, and 4, and we weave them into our initiatives at every turn. Our three other innovation councils guide the details of our work. Tonight, I will share the results of our work that our councils have overseen, and I want to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude to the public-private co-chairs of each one, Nick Lindsley and Pam Hinman of the Economic Development Innovation Council, Jenny Wunderlich and Justin Fraser of the Business Support Innovation Council, Lisa Shilney, Jen Stoll, and Nick Burgess of the Community Development Innovation Council. Tonight, I want to walk you through the initiatives and the story the numbers tell, because the numbers matter. They are proof points of progress. This year, with Evan Doyle leading the way, we evolved from a static report to a fully interactive community data dashboard, tracking more than 30 community indicators across economics, labor, housing, and quality of life. At the same time, we decided to establish an interactive 7-county regional data dashboard so that all the data wonks out there that need consistent, replicable public information to support initiatives across all 7 counties can now measure their progress as well. These dashboards are now publicly available for your use. They will help us understand where we are as a region and what we need to work on in the coming years. This is just a sneak peek at what the data shows, both challenges and opportunities. In Johnson County, we rank near the top of the 7-county region in many business climate measures, such as low unemployment, very low, worker availability, gross domestic product, and average job pay. For the quality of life metrics, Johnson County lies in the middle of our peer pack for multiple income, health, and opportunity measures, largely due to a higher cost of living, while leading the way in visitor spending per capita. Regionally, labor force participation has declined over the past decade, yet households with young children and both parents working are up across all counties. Everyone's working hard. These contrasting data trends point to a growing concern for us. More older workers are leaving the workforce, and fewer young people are entering the workforce, leaving a noticeable mismatch in labor demand and labor supply. Evan will be sharing data insights from these dashboards at our regional legislative launch on December 10th that we host with our friends at the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance at the Cedar Ridge Distillery. So we invite the legislators and our stakeholders to join us for a lively gathering around those data insights and other legislative priorities, and I'm sure we'll tee up a good signature drink for everyone. You may need it. We also collect data in other ways. Under the leadership of Melanie Bimson, we collect information from the business community through the Business Retention and Expansion Survey, or the BRE survey. This survey is how we know the quality of life, community amenities, and close proximity to customers are what Johnson County employers value about our area most. Just this week, we released a non-metro BRE to ensure that we're capturing this data as well from our smaller rural communities within Johnson County. As we learn from these companies, and together with a host of other public and private sector partners, we also help celebrate or shape new and expanding projects in our area, including the expansion of Procter & Gamble and the more than 100 new jobs coming with a $150 million investment over the next several years, which is a very big deal. Support of new companies in the Iowa City Industrial Park, the Nordex wind turbine site reactivation, and local mixed-use projects that support phenomenal opportunities around strengthening our emerging new commercial neighborhoods like Gather, Iowa, Mark Kaufman's Iowa River Power renovation, he'll talk to in a little bit, the Urban Central District in North Liberty, and the reimagination of the former ACT and Pearson campuses. None of this happens alone. Thank you to our municipal partners and the many stakeholders in the room that collectively help support these developments. The data also speaks to the high number of small businesses in Johnson County, with 95% of our businesses being under 50 employees. Small businesses in particular need additional support. Costs are rising, tariffs have made things challenging, costs are unpredictable, AI has changed the landscape, and our businesses are trying to figure out how to grow. So we established support by removing the paywall for help. As you know, everyone in Johnson County is a member of Greater Iowa City, Inc., every single one. If you need help, we've got you. Our larger investors understand that if we support small business and focus on retention, it will help grow our economy incrementally and keep money circulating locally. This work is hands-on and driven by existing local businesses in the Business Resource Center. These service providers are paying it forward and finding relevancy in our mission. I want to walk you through the story the numbers tell, because the numbers matter. At Merge and 808 Fifth Street, under the leadership of Mary Willie and Lexi Rudolph, where we direct many who are seeking technical help, we have 241 co-working members, 76 day pass users. The conference and event spaces are used for everything from 1 million cups, corporate events, corporate retreats, cultural events, UIJPEC forums, to hosting the Mandela Fellows. 60% of the business that have walked through the door are in the early growth stages, and they are in need of access to capital, marketing, mentorship, and most importantly, the number one need is accounting support. These aren't abstract numbers. They are the early scaffolding of what we hope are success stories in progress. And we've made 161 appointments this year as of October. Greater Iowa City, Inc. further supports a welcoming business environment you heard a little bit about from Sunday. Katie Gerlach and Evan Doyle worked with Johnson County and over 15 local organizations to become a certified welcoming community through Welcoming America. Immigrants make up over 10% of Johnson County's population, and we want to support them be successful in the workplace and in business. And it starts by saying, you are welcome here. Maria and Lexi pulled together some wonderful events this year and handed out over 25 awards, like the inaugural Toast to Business at Hancher, and Excellence in Action in University Heights, and our Golf Classic, which is, by this time next year, I hope to improve my golf game. Need some help. But we do have a few ringers on our team. For those who know Evan Doyle and Michael Chen, if you're looking to round out your foursome. In 2025, Maria and the team hosted 30 ribbon cuttings, which had over 1,000 attendees. We held 95 community lunch connections over three cities, sharing the work of our municipalities with business and nonprofit leaders, allowing them the opportunity to know one another. We had roughly 3,000 attendees and generated $43,000 in local spending at 20 locally owned restaurants. We also generated roughly $80,000 in local spending at hospitality and event venues. This is a connected community, and this is where your investment's going. And who champions the community the best? In 2025, Greater Iowa City, Inc. had an over 30-member cohort of business leaders as ambassadors, and Ricardo is one of them, as you can tell. This program in 2026 will be under Michael Chen's leadership, and we're excited to grow this program. These are the folks that help local businesses feel seen and connected to something larger and welcome them into the community in very personal ways. As you see the ambassadors tonight and in the community, I hope you'll help me thank them for all that they do to keep us genuinely grounded. As Sunday also mentioned, the underestimated small business grant this year is one of our proudest coalitions. In partnership with Shelley Meharry and the Community Foundation of Johnson County and Maurice Davis at South of Six, Katie Gerlach and our team helped grant $416,000 of Johnson County ARPA funds to 58 underestimated small business with a median award of $8,000 each. Applications were submitted in six languages. Funding primarily was used for operational support, but even more for storefront enhancements. This is barrier-lowering, equity-building work. This list of businesses are getting a leg up in Johnson County and are now connected to a business resource center and a network of local mentors that are here to continue to support their success. This is another example of how we are working with our partners to drive inclusive business support in Johnson County. The data also speaks to a critical shortage in childcare affordability and availability. No workforce strategy works without childcare. Thanks to the Child Care Solutions Coalition, led by Michael Chen, we are working diligently to stay in front of it. Over the course of time, a $2 an hour wage boost to childcare workers through the Wage Enhancement Program resulted in the support of over 200 childcare workers, 9 licensed centers, which increased full-time staffing by 56% and increased childcare slots by 30%. The numbers show progress thanks to partners who believe in funding this initiative, like the University of Iowa, Green State Credit Union, and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, among others. This is an ongoing battle, and the headwinds are strong, but we're going to keep plugging away at it in search of sustainable solutions. One of our signature initiatives this past year was our deep dive into local design-led plans for Cherry Street in North Liberty, Fifth Street in Coralville, and Sycamore in Iowa City through strategic investment districts. Underwritten by our local banking partners at Midwest One Bank, Hills Bank, and Green State Credit Union, we used a place-based economic development approach to center each plan on these 5 drivers. The Community Foundation of Johnson County rounded out the effort by supporting refinements of the plans through the lens of accessibility, bikeability, walkability, and affordability. Rather than hiring outside consultants, our staff, led by Katie Gerlach, worked with 3 local team collectives. Teams led by Newman Munson and Natalie Ramirez, RDG Planning and Design and Studio Combine, and Shive Hattery with Horizon Architecture, all of which consisted of local leaders of design firms, engineers, architects, nonprofit partners, and municipal staff that live in our community. Each team had their own strategy and spirit. The Fifth Street Investment District team took a deep dive into honoring a historic corridor that could help connect the larger 15-minute area together with anchors to the south at Gather Iowa and to the west with Iowa River Power. The plan established recommendations for a distinct sense of place through a clearly marked district gateway and corresponding branding and visuals. They highlighted the opportunity for additional housing and commercial space, childcare, supporting mixed-use retail, and pedestrian enhancements at the 10th Street intersection, and connecting catalytic sites within the 1-mile radius. We'll hear more on the Iowa River Power renovation in just a little bit. The Cherry Street Investment District team in North Liberty focused on preserving the Old Town character that those in North Liberty love, from the Heinz ice cream block all along the corridor to more naturally connect with Highway 965. They targeted strengthening the streetscape along Cherry Street to support a unified identity, several new infill development and housing pilots that would lead to a tighter-knit neighborhood setting, and new placemaking opportunities at the Liberty Triangle. The Sycamore Investment District team learned a lot of the misconceived notions related to this area of Iowa City when reviewing the existing conditions and seeing that the area was actually more economically viable than initially perceived. The plan focuses on a radius of a 15-mile walk with Muscatine and First Street as primary corridors. While land assembly costs here are one of the biggest challenges, the team focused on recommendations to support additional housing at every turn, building a stronger base for the existing commercial neighborhood and opportunities around the Sycamore Mall and Oakdale Plaza. Each of the strategic investment districts will require advocacy and creative financing. The work of 2026 will be to map out the priorities and programs with a growing number of interested investors. Which leads me to a couple of last points related to leadership, public policy, and advocacy work for a full circle moment, hopefully. Under the leadership of Mackenzie DeRue, a wonderful University of Iowa intern, Hannah Mueller, and our executive council, we took to the road and met with our federal delegation in Washington, D.C., worked with our state delegation in Des Moines, and have stayed active in sharing our local priorities with city councils. We're building relationships. It does not go without notice that many of the individuals we are working with have at one time or another been through one of our leadership programs, and the community leadership program in particular. This past year, we celebrated 35 years of the CLP program out at Walker Homestead. Through that process, we did outreach to over 800 CLP alumni, 800 people that have grown this community in a variety of ways, whether going on to become business and community champions, and like Jenny Wunderlich. They remember their time at CLP and are an amazing network of advocates for the greater Iowa City area. So, with all these coalitions and actions, is it any wonder that when stitched together, they help lead us to a major milestone in the history of our area this year with a recent and overwhelming passage of the local option sales tax measure. Greater Iowa City, Inc. advocated for the Iowa City, Coralville, and North Liberty City Councils to put a 1% local option sales tax on the ballot this fall and led the campaign effort to get it passed. The committee to support Yes on Local Option was a coalition of partners motivated to diversify the tax base and increase local funding for critical infrastructure. On November 4th, voters in each municipality overwhelmingly voted yes to implement the tax to capture visitor spending here at home. This vote affirms our community's commitment to making smart investments, working collaboratively, and finding local solutions for urgent needs. I want to congratulate this room on that. All of you who jumped into the campaign or voted for it, you didn't let perfect be the enemy of the good. I'd like to personally congratulate Mackenzie DeRue on her leadership and strategic insights to ensure this was a coordinated, collaborative, and professional effort, and she hit all the marks. As well as the entire campaign team behind Greater Iowa City, Inc. and our partners at Think Iowa City, Katie Gerlach, Jesse Wallace, Josh Schamberger, Nick Pfeiffer, and Nick Kading, what a crew. Most importantly, though, I'd like to share our gratitude to the entire campaign steering committee, the 19 organizations that endorsed it, and those community champions, Jessica Andino, Stacey Hausman, Barb McFadden, Tom Rocklin, Anthony Houghton, Ashley Bermel, Tony Branch, and the other 40-plus volunteers that presented to clubs, stumped at the farmers markets, and informed neighbors. Thank you for hitting the streets to help educate and advocate for its passage. $22 million annually, the $110 million in just the next 5 years, will be generated from this 1% on sales tax that will now be put towards property tax relief, as well as affordable housing, community amenities, and critical infrastructure here in Johnson County. Will all of those mentioned and those of you that have touched this campaign in any way please stand and let's give everyone a big round of applause for your part in getting this measure passed. Come on, guys. Seriously. It's a big deal. Where's our last table? That was good. These efforts prove that we're not waiting for someone else to solve our challenges. We're working together now and doing it here, and the numbers reflect this. So before looking ahead to 2026, let's look back with a little hype video that Jesse Wallace pulled together. So what's coming up in the next year? We're going to keep our eye on data trends, and we're going to work on a new partnership with Heartland Forward, who can help introduce us to national partners and investors that are interested in our strategic investment district approach. We're going to meet with a lot of property owners of the Sycamore, Fifth Street, and Cherry Street neighborhoods. And if you're interested in investing locally, please come talk to us. We're going to explore a new pilot for relocation services with University of Iowa Healthcare that we hope will lead to consistent and coordinated marketing assets for the area. We're going to keep advocating for thoughtful action. And last, we're going to keep hustling. If you were intrigued by any of this work, I hope that you reach out. We'd love to get you involved. Not a single part of the work described here tonight would exist without you. And for that, we are truly, truly thankful. So let's just keep it going. So with all that said, now I'd like to really introduce the main feature of the night. I'd like to now turn the microphone over to someone who embodies the story of working hard, understands the spending power of investing locally in thoughtful action, and is a storied University of Iowa alumni. From Olds, Iowa, Mark Kaufman, founder of Athletico, started the physical therapy company in 1991 with a single location and has since grown it to one of the largest outpatient rehabilitation providers in the United States. Mark also serves on the University of Iowa Center for Advancement's Board of Directors, among others. And tonight, he's going to share his inspiring story of preserving a local landmark, the Iowa River Power Company. Mark has assembled a development team that includes fellow alumnus Tom Beardsley and Tippie College of Business student Peyton Weber. Mark and his wife, Marianne, whom he met at Iowa, have three daughters, all proud Hawkeye graduates and a lifelong IRP customers. So please help me welcome to the stage, tell his story, Mark Kaufman. All right, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Pretty confident that the inspirations of the night are over after Sunday's presentation. It's fun to be inspired, and congratulations on your U.S. citizenship. Welcome to the greatest country in the world. We need more conversations and messages like you deliver tonight, so thank you. Nancy, thank you. I think Nancy was the first person to reach out to me after the announcement around IRP happened. And come to find out, that's not surprising because she hails from Southeast Iowa. We figured that out. She thought she might have even played basketball in my high school gym. So being the curious Neanderthal that I am, I asked, well, how old are you? And question every woman wants to hear, and she told me, and we figured out that she indeed probably did play in Olds before we moved the high school to Wayland. But yeah, it's great working with your team. You've been more than welcoming. Mayor Foster and the council people at City of Coralville, Kelly, and all the stories from first dates, people that washed dishes at IRP, and I continue to welcome them. We have a lot of work to do, but we're going to get it done, and I'm going to try to have as much fun with it as I can. I don't think I agreed to put that picture up there, but that's okay. That actually is, there's a good story behind that. That is an Iowa wrestling warm-up from the 80s that I traded a football player for on my dorm room for some scrubs, but one of the best deals I ever made. I'm from Olds, Iowa, and I was asked to talk a little bit about my personal background, my business background, and obviously IRP. And I'm hoping that you can all help me make sense of that. So how a kid from Olds, Iowa, student athletic trainer at the University of Iowa, lives in Chicago, starts a business, and ends up buying IRP. If you can make sense of that after all this is over, I welcome the feedback. But it's taken, ironically, when I looked it up, 43 minutes. It took 43 minutes to get, took 43 years to get 43 minutes. I'm 61 years old. I left Olds essentially when I was 18, to come to the University of Iowa, so that's 43 years, and here I am, 43 miles away, so interesting as that may be. I have one sister, Pam. I'll be doing a number of shout-outs. My sister, Pam, and I grew up in Olds. My parents, my dad was a carpenter. My mom was a beautician. I knew that I did not want to be a beautician or a carpenter. And back then, Iowa City was a place that we would come for Christmas shopping, perhaps school supplies. Oftentimes, we'd go to Burlington. But it was a distant land. Go out to Sycamore Mall, get lost with an Orange Julius at B. Dalton Bookseller. And fun to hear a little bit about the redevelopment of that. I hope that happens, or I want to see that happen. But my wife and I, Marianne, seated. Raise your hand, Marianne. Be recognized. we met at Iowa. She's the daughter of Greek immigrants. My family had no idea what Greeks were. Her family had no idea what Iowans were, so that made sense altogether. We have three daughters. My oldest, I had three rules when I should write a book about parenting, but my rules were for the girls when they went to school that they could not apply to Iowa State. They had to apply to Iowa. And if they happened to go to Illinois, I wasn't going to pay for it. And it kind of worked. The oldest went to Northwestern. Any other school was on the table. You know, the oldest went to Northwestern, but then she just finished at Iowa Law School, passed the bar, graduated in the spring, passed the bar. Shout out to Iowa Law School. My middle daughter went to Tippie. She's in Chicago working for Morningstar. My youngest at the table, Christina, swam at Iowa for a couple years and until the program was cut, but we won't get into that. And graduated from Tippie and then graduated with a master's in finance and data analytics and still is here. Those are my two son-in-laws. And I'm not sure how the unofficial guy next to Christina made the picture, but she's there. He's not on the holiday card, so that's good. Marianne, I got to do a shout-out to Marianne. About 5-6 years ago, Marianne took on the project of building a swim natatorium in our neck of the woods in Illinois. It's called FMC, named after our daughters, Fotini, Margaret, and Christina. It's a beautiful facility. It's hosted meets. They just recently had a meet with 500 swimmers, 48 Olympians. Marianne obviously enjoys hanging out with 6'5" gold medalists from the United States. She knows what she's doing, but it's a beautiful facility, and I think probably when I came to her and got the blessing around IRP, I think I was supportive during her FMC process. She didn't look at me like I was crazy, and she tackled that with gusto and built an amazing facility, and we hope to do something similar at IRP. So again, lifelong Hawkeye. So proud of the girls that graduated there. You know, first time I came to Iowa City with any meaning or when it was meaningful to me, it was probably 1977. It was 1977 because I looked it up. There was a kid on my high school or my junior high at the time that his older brother played football at Iowa, walked on and made the team. And he wasn't dressing, but my buddy invited me to come up and we went to Sycamore Mall and saw the movie Star Wars. And we went to Godfather's Pizza, and then we stayed in the dorm at Slater Dormitory that night before the game, and we went with Tim, his name was Tim Slaughter, went with him to the game. Might have had my first beer at age 13, I won't admit it, but might have happened. And I just remember I didn't want to go home. I loved Iowa City, I loved the university, I loved being around it, and when I graduated from Waco, there was only one school for me, and that was Iowa. I didn't apply to anywhere else. I came, and one of the things Marianne and I are both attracted to is our parents didn't go to college as a first-gen program. They started at the University of Iowa, so credit to Barbara Wilson, who I know is here, and for starting that program, because that's meaningful. Could have used it, because I didn't know what I was doing. As a first-gen, just came and had two roommates from my high school. One transferred to Iowa State, the other one went to jail for federal bank fraud, so you can figure out which one took the worst path on your own. But but here I am. And some things just come out. Anyway, education was probably on the table, but I wrote a letter to a guy named Dan Foster, who is the head of the student athletic training curriculum, and he sent me this packet back on the athletic training education major. Read it, looked at it, had a meeting at Carver Hawkeye, which had just opened, and you know, the rest was history. I fell in love with it. I played high school sports. I knew I couldn't play at the Division I level, but to stay involved with athletics and find a career passion was that lucky that I just wrote a letter and ended up working as a student athletic trainer at Iowa. It was one of the greatest gifts I ever had. I'm a proud Hawkeye, and just to be part of that. You guys may remember, that's me down in the lower left. My senior year was the 85 year. You'll remember that because I know Chuck Long's here, somewhere over here. Chuck and I combined for 3,500 yards and 27 touchdowns that year. Won the Big Ten. But it was a fantastic year. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary of that. And I'm a guy that looks back and likes to look at timelines. So 40 years ago, we had beaten Purdue 27-24 in another last-second kick by Rob Houtland. And that put us into the Rose Bowl running, but we had to beat Minnesota, which we did the following weekend. So it was, for those of you Hawkeyes that were around back in those days, that was a special year. But my story is pretty simple. I went to Iowa. I finished there. I fell in love with athletic training. That's what I thought my career path was going to be. I got a graduate assistantship in Tucson at the University of Arizona. I went down and worked 2 years with the athletic teams there. Both the head athletic trainers at Iowa and Arizona were physical therapists. Ed Crowley at Iowa, Sue Hillman at Arizona, both encouraged me to go on to PT school. I thought it would help me get a better job. And so I applied, got into Northwestern, which was really good because my wife, Marianne, who was an RA in Slater when I was working with the Iowa football team, and they moved me back into the dorm, which as a senior is not the most attractive thing, but they paid for my room and board, the football team did, so that worked. And, you know, going to Northwestern for physical therapy school is obviously Chicago, and if you marry a Greek girl, you're not gonna take her, you know, more than 40 minutes away from her family, so that became my job search. And that landed me a job at my first clinic was Lincoln Park Physical Therapy in downtown Chicago in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. After 2 years of doing that, I worked for a couple guys that I'll just say I learned a lot from them, maybe on how not to do. We had a lot of turnover, how not to do everything. But looking back, you know, I can think of the positives I did learn. But one night I came home and I told Marianne, you know, these guys are arguing all the time. It just doesn't make any sense, yet we're trying to expand. And I said, they're going to have to give me a bigger role with this organization or, you know, and she said, why do you want to be their partner if you don't respect them? And she was right, as she usually is. And that became the catalyst for Athletico. And I started thinking then that, well, maybe I can start my own clinic. And so being from a town of 200 people, starting a company in downtown Chicago is not something that probably was on my radar screen, but that's what we did. Went to every bank I knew anybody at. No one wanted to loan me money. I know there's some bankers here. Thank you for being open to those investments back in the early 90s. So I borrowed from my parents, I borrowed from my in-laws, and I borrowed from my college roommate, Tom Beardsley, who I'll mention again later, and opened a clinic in downtown in the Gold Coast of Chicago. And that was the plan. I was going to work as an athletic trainer and a physical therapist and keep that thing going, and someday when I'd in my 60s, hopefully, I would retire. I remember John Streif, who was sitting at my table. He was up for a game, and he came by with a couple other staff members to see my facility. John has been a mentor of mine since 1983, and in my opinion, the greatest Hawkeye ever. But he came by, and I think I had one employee. I wasn't taking a salary. I had maybe one patient, one high school I was working with. And John's like, this is fantastic. This is so great. You're going to do awesome. Of course, that's John, if you know John. And things like that, you know, got me through those days. But we We opened a, that's a picture of the first clinic. We opened another clinic. I opened another clinic in 94. By 2000, we had a 10, 12. In 2010, I probably had 50, 60. I guess I can look at the graph, 50, 60 locations. By 2014, we had 86 Athleticos, mainly in the Illinois market. There's about 15 more. It's closer to 100 total facilities with the managed facilities we had on top of that, about 1,500 employees. And I talked, we were having conversations with my partners. I had about 78 partners, equity partners at that time, because I was making individual therapists in their own clinics equity partners, and it was a great model, maybe the best model. And I just went to them and I said, do you all want to grow this? Do you want to, because we have the opportunity, we can bring on financing and do this if you want to. We were competing effectively in Chicago. I would make the bold statement, we were winning. I think we were the premier provider, and we had great relationships with a lot of teams. We had facilities that, come to find out, were doing almost 2x of a lot of competitors, and they went for it. And we came together with one unified vision to grow it. We brought on Harvest Partners in a leveraged buyout, and that was in 2014. They were a great partner. First thing we did was we acquired a company. It was another company, a competitor of ours based out of Chicago. So we had about 100 facilities, 1,500 employees. Accelerated had 2,500 employees, 250 locations. That was an interesting few years of integrating because we acquired them. And all of a sudden we had 4,000 facility or 4,000 employees and 350 locations. So it was a big growth period for Mark Kaufman and a fun time, good time. We had a great team. And we kept growing. And we did that through another deal when we were recapped, grew, did the job that Harvest wanted to do. And we were recapped by Byron Trott's group out of Chicago, Midwest group. Harvest was out in New York City. And they've been our partner ever since. So that's basically the story of Athletico. I stepped down planned and right before COVID. The timing was pretty good. I had done it for about 30 years. I felt we could bring in new leadership, take it to another level, support the business how I could. I'm still executive chairman. Unfortunately, we didn't hire the right person. We've gone through some transition in that role, but I'm still executive chairman. We have a good CEO that I work with closely now. We're getting our street legs back, getting prepared to grow, again. But we're around 940 locations in about 24 states and the District of Columbia. So some of those states are very attractive to us. That'll be the continuation of the story on where we decide to grow. And there's still plenty of white space within some of the states we're in. Somebody asked me earlier, I think we have 38 to 40 locations. I know I have a friendly table from Athletico. Raise your hands, Athletico. Be nice. Cheer loud. Have great. Some of the 10,000 colleagues I have at Athletico and still proud to work with on a day-to-day basis. But I think we're around 35 to 45 locations in Iowa. And it was one of the real attractive things to me because acquiring Accelerated brought us into Iowa. We had a facility in the Quad Cities at the time, Athletico did. And I certainly had Iowa on my mind, as I always do. I love Iowa City. I love this market. The story of how that led to IRP is fairly simple. In 2022, my parents, who were still living in Olds, were experiencing some difficulties. My sister, who has shouldered most of the load, the burden of helping care and guide and oversee what's going on with my parents, was doing a fantastic job. She does a fantastic job. I can't wait till she takes care of me someday. But we were looking at alternatives and what we were going to do, and we looked at a facility called, it's now called Summit. It's called Grand Living, north of the old Ironman, north of I-80 on First Avenue. And that was the facility we settled on. It's been a wonderful facility. It's a great place for them. I saw them today. They're doing well. Thank you. My dad had his 87th birthday earlier this week. And But right when we moved him in, my dad was experiencing some difficulties, went into the hospital, went into a skilled rehab center. My mother had a stroke. And all of a sudden, I'm back helping Pam and driving down First Avenue several times a day, going between checking on Dad, checking on my mom, keeping up with Pam. And my mind kept looking at IRP, remembering the first time I'd been there was 1983 with a collegiate swimmer who was my roommate, and his parents took us there my sophomore year. A few dates that I had, including one with my wife, my current wife, and a few other ones that we won't talk about. But the memories that I had there and continue to have just kept drawing me back to what IRP was and all those years. And so the trips continued down First Avenue, and one day the thought entered my mind that said something like, somebody should do something with that building and bring it back to whatever it wants to be. A few days go past, and then the question became, why don't you do it? And then I knew I was in trouble. And because once something goes into my mind, and if it excites me and I have the time, or I think I have the time, or I can put together a good team, then we have an opportunity to do something. So I sought out what was going on. It was an interesting time for IRP. The restaurant, Denise and David Petzl were running the restaurant. A different owner owned the building. They were having some issues. I come in and start asking questions and meet with folks. And one thing led to another, and we acquired it, or I acquired the building in, I think, close to the end of 24, somewhere close to that. And we inherited a few members of this team, but come to bring this group together that we're blessed. I think we have a great team that cares about the building as much as I do. I think many of you do. I think we have an opportunity to do some really cool things. The Gronin Group, they've done a lot of historical projects. They're out of Dubuque. They've done the Millwork District there and other ones. Morton Architects, Mike Stickley. He's an Iowa State guy from Minnesota. So we got the language barrier and that going on, but I had to remind him of when Chuck and I worked our magic at Ames and beat him 57-3. He didn't believe me, so he looked it up, but yeah, that was the year I worked in Ames. But Mike's done a fantastic job, as has the team, the engineering team at Axiom and the team at Gronin. So we're thrilled about it. There's just a lot of work to do on this building. It's a huge undertaking. I think the potential is crazy good. There's been a lot of feedback. People forget that I have a family of three daughters and a Greek wife. I get a lot of feedback already, but I've gotten a lot of feedback about it. It was interesting to me on the social media when it first was announced that I had acquired the building, this Chicago guy, I hope he doesn't screw it up. I'm like, I'm from Olds, Iowa. Come on, you guys calm down. But I think we have an opportunity to do some really wonderful things there. That starts with the work that's going on right now, and it was a major cleanup in the sub-basement, the basement, interior, exterior. You can see some of the tuck pointing that's going on. The history of the building, and your coffee cups are there for your taking, if that wasn't obvious to you, so enjoy your coffee cups as a memory. The history of the building goes all the way back to 1844. So think about that. It was a grist mill. If you don't know what a grist mill, it's where they take grain, grind it into flour and cereal and things like that. But that's when it first opened. So 1844, there was people working at the IRP location. Think about that. That's, I think, 3 years before the university was organized. I think Iowa, the state, was formed in 1846. It was 21 years before the end of the Civil War. Crazy. Became an electric light company in 1886. You can see it, renamed Iowa Light and Power. The new structure that you see, I believe, and the gang over at the Gronin, Stickley, and Axiom table can correct me, but I think the wheelhouse, the building closest to it, the single-level building, I think that was right at the turn of the century after the fire hit the building in the late 1800s. the second story, two-story building right adjacent to that. That was built around 1910 to 1920. And I believe the three-story building right along First Avenue, that was built in the 1920s. So it's actually three separate buildings that were connected and became the, sold in 1969 for the $1. I've talked to one of the original owners a few times, or we've talked to him about the startup, and these stories are unbelievable. And then Denise and David obviously took over the restaurant in 2002 until it closed in 2003 or 23. So I think it's, you know, based on my experience and the times we've been there, I think it's ready. It was ready for a reboot, a refresh. And I'm committed to doing it right and getting the job done. You're all probably wondering about the timeline. I'll be honest with you. I wanted a timeline that would get us there by the end of next year. That's not going to happen. I could see the conversations with the construction team. We were dancing around that for a while. And again, I just said, okay, gang, let's just put this on the table or put it off the table in a way that we have to do it. We have to do it right. We're uncovering some things we didn't count on. And I'm fully committed to bringing this back to what, again, I believe it wants to be. Here's some, if you haven't taken a deep look at the building, I would look at the that second picture on the bottom where you see the hoist lift. You see all those boarded up windows, and the ones to the left, the blocked in windows. That had been there, I think, since the restaurant was started in the late 70s. And the thing that struck me about this when the demolition was completed was the vastness and the volume of this facility. When the restaurant was active, they had the restaurant bar on the first floor, so the first floor was fully occupied. They had, back in my day, I think it was called Blue Moon, and then it was Flanagan's. The Flanagan's closed during COVID, and then the restaurant remained open. But that was really what was used was occupied. That percentage of the building was occupied. They had a small upstairs office. Otherwise, in the basement was storage and some little construction stuff going on down there, but that was it. So if you see this building, or when you see this building, you're going to see a different type of building and brought back in a way that I think is not only will be tasteful, but historically connected to what it was. And our intention is to make it a really unique space. And I'll talk a little bit about the concepts. This might be a drone video. There it goes. So if you haven't seen the building, you can see the sawtooth at the bottom, the wheelhouse to the right, and then the second, and then the three-story buildings. And that's what we're dealing with. Our partners, the electrical transformers to the north, that's Mid-America. They've been other great partners and really, really great to deal with. So this is an elevation, and I'm going to run through these. We were going to have a little schematic, but weren't confident, or I think the team wasn't confident that I would screw it up and get through it. So I'm going to explain a bit about where we want to end up and what we hope this building will look like. First, notice all the windows. Intention is to they will be replaced and have these beautiful open-up windows. We'll bring natural light into it. You're looking at what will eventually be the entrance to the restaurant. The people walking in there, and then the wheelhouse will be a bar concept, bar restaurant, part of the restaurant. And then to the right, what we intend to have is a second concept where the Flanagan's Blue Moon space was, would be a coffee shop bakery on the first floor with a loft on the second floor. Is the plan with that? You can see that with a patio outside along First Avenue. And again, the cleaner look in a historically accurate return of the building, and I think it's going to be fantastic. The inside of the wheelhouse look like that. This, floor-to-ceiling windows. The bar will most likely be to the left with tables surrounding with beautiful views of the river. This will be the new sawtooth, one level. If you remember, those of you who had been in IRP had multiple levels. I think that was probably challenging for the staff, but also challenging on the viewing. And so I think this will clean that up, and we've gotten a ways there. This is what the intention of the sawtooth will look like on the outside with the new materials and the clad on the exterior of the sawtooth. This is looking west to the volume of the restaurant. To the back left will most likely be where the kitchen lands. And you can see the original steel, the yellow beams are up there, the coal bin. And then you can also see straight through to your right on that picture through the common corridor, which will be the coffee shop bakery. This is the bakery, and you can see the loft above that. If you came in that main entrance for the common corridor off the parking lot, and again, you can look up and see the industrial feel that I think is a good one for this. And, you know, these are schematics, but I think they give you the intention of what we're trying to do here and the themes with some what will be rich finishes and some incredible units and businesses in this building. This is looking on the loft space of the building for the above the bakery coffee shop. And then third concept, fourth concept, we're looking at a, call it a cigar cocktail club with a rooftop option along with this event space, which will all, again connect to the rooftop on the second floor deck. And I think it'd be, don't think we can hold this size of a group. Not sure we can hold weddings. Look forward to hosting you there. But the intention is to be a great event space, a very unique space, and obviously historic. This is the roof deck. You're looking from the river towards the building now. And it's actually close to the size if we want to go this big with the access points we have from the club and the event space. And looking from the rooftop deck, looking towards the university, you can actually, I've been up there. I'm doing a tour tomorrow with the group from Coralville. We're not going to go up there, so don't get too excited. Safety first. But you can actually see the top of Kinnick. You can see the Children's Hospital. You can see the water tower. It's pretty cool. And I think it's going to be awesome. So I look forward to seeing you there in 2027. I appreciate the invitation to be with you all today. I want to wish everybody happy holidays. Thanks again to Nancy and Greater Iowa City. Go Hawks. And thanks again.
Okay, thank you so much, Mark, for sharing that story with us. And now I'd like to introduce Shelley Meharry, President and CEO of the Community Foundation of Johnson County, to the stage. We have been fortunate to have Shelley's vision, expertise, and support on several joint initiatives this year, and I'm pleased to have her share more about the impact of the Community Foundation in honor of their 25th anniversary. Shelley?
Nancy, again, what a beautiful, small, intimate gathering you have created for all of us this evening. And to Mr. Kaufman, your journey here to Johnson County makes perfect sense to us, and your love of the Hawkeyes is spot on. So thank you for your investment in Johnson County. We can't wait to celebrate the new Iowa River Power Company when it comes to fruition. On behalf of the Community Foundation of Johnson County Board of Directors and staff, it is our sincere honor to be a partnering sponsor of tonight's Greater Iowa City Annual Meeting. This year marks our organization's 25th anniversary of service to Johnson County, helping individuals, families, and businesses give back to causes and communities they care about. And without the support of Greater Iowa City's Community Leadership Program, our organization simply would not exist. In 1999, members of that CLP class boldly explored what it would take to start a community foundation. They conducted the research and interviewed other community foundations in the state and around the country. With strong community support, they laid the groundwork for what would become the Community Foundation of Johnson County. And on August 7th, 2000, Todd Jacobson signed the Articles of Incorporation and the CFJC was born. I'm so happy that Todd Jacobson is here this evening at our table as one of our founding members of the Community Foundation. He's still with the Community Foundation and still by my side, and I thank him for all of his support of the Community Foundation and mentorship. Thank you, Todd. Those visionary community leaders believe that bringing together passionate, generous people from all walks of life to meet the needs of the community, that all of our residents would benefit. This still holds true as we work to continue our founder's legacy of giving and supporting connecting communities who care with causes that matter most to them to support sustainable change. The first endowed fund was a gift from Dick Schwab and Catherine Burford on December 1st, 2000. So we're coming up on that 25th anniversary. And today, thanks to the generosity of countless donors, many of you are sitting in this room this evening. And dedicated community partners, our Community Foundation has grown to steward more than $72 million of charitable assets and has distributed $34 million in grants to nonprofit organizations, creating a total charitable impact of over $106 million in just 25 years. And so tonight, we celebrate the grassroots vision set forth by caring community leaders and nurtured by the Community Leadership Program to build a stronger, more connected community where everyone belongs and thrives. Our founders believed in the power of generosity, the strength of collaboration, and the promise of a better future for future generations. And that belief continues to guide us today. So let's give our founders and the CLP program, we know there are a lot of alumni in this room, another round of applause. As our Community Foundation has grown, so has our capacity to serve as a trusted community partner, mobilizing resources, amplifying voices, and advocating for solutions that addressed our community's most pressing needs. The work of Greater Iowa City and Better Together 2030, led by Executive Director Katie Gerlach, which you all know and love, have given us a clear strategic framework, enabling us to maximize our impact of our time and organizational resources. We're proud to have contributed to transformational initiatives, such as helping launch that underestimated small business grant program funding with the support of Johnson County Board of Supervisors, developing the board leadership program to inspire the next generation of nonprofit board members, providing grant funding for the strategic investment districts to ensure that nonprofit and neighborhood voices help shape the program's planning, stewarding resources for the Child Care Wage Enhancement Program, and advocating on behalf of the successful passage of the $30 million Johnson County Conservation Bond. The Better Together, All In Vision framework has helped align our efforts with a broader community vision for a thriving, inclusive, and resilient Johnson County. By working collaboratively within this structure, we can ensure that every initiative that we support contributes to long-term progress, strengthening community partnerships and amplifying the voices of those that we serve. It is not just about doing good work. It's about doing the right work in the right way to create lasting change. We truly are better together. Our Johnson County nonprofit sector cares deeply about community and economic development. We know thriving local economies attract skilled professionals, which expands our donor base, which expands the pool of leadership of volunteers, nonprofit staff, and board members who lend their expertise and leadership to all of our organizations. Strong economic development drives investment in public services, transportation, and technology, resources that nonprofits can leverage to deliver programs more efficiently and reach even more neighbors in need with a friendly face and a helping hand. So no matter the nonprofit's specific area of work, whether it's supporting animals and the environment, youth development, arts and culture, human services, or any other focus area that makes up our beautiful patchwork of local charitable endeavors, Greater Iowa City's work to build a Johnson County where people want to live, give, work, and play benefits all of us. So on behalf of all of Johnson County nonprofits, thank you to Greater Iowa City for your efforts to strengthen our work. And as we enter the season of giving, we invite you to support the nonprofits that you care about. This year has brought significant challenges to many organizations, and now is our opportunity to stand beside those who do so much for so many in our community. Let's now show them that their work is seen, valued, and uplifted. If you are a member of a nonprofit, if you are a staff member of a nonprofit organization, or you serve in a volunteer or board role, could you please stand or wave to be recognized? Thank you for all your contributions to everything that you do. Thank you so much, and have a great Thanksgiving. It's my pleasure to welcome back Nancy.
Okay, I know we have a women's basketball game to watch at 8, and I know there's a men's game going on right now. Two quick thank yous. Can I invite Mary Willie up to the stage, as well as Maria Schussler, please? And this is, Mary Willie has been with us for a number of years. She's been the heart and soul of the merger that transpired, and this is her last annual meeting, although she'll be with us through June. But I want to give a special thank you to her. And I know that she wanted to thank Maria for tonight's whole event. So thank you, Mary.
So I'm thinking about that path to Iowa State. And, you know, the path goes both ways, and we here at Greater Iowa City have brought one of those cyclones over here, and I think we got her about three quarters of the way converted to being a Hawkeye. There's just a couple of games where she kind of lets us down, but, I don't know, kicks a field goal at the last minute or something. Anyway, Maria, from the staff, our four wonderful interns, the executive council, and the investors and guests who joined us this afternoon and tonight, thank you for the outstanding meetings you've put together. Your dedication to the past four annual meetings is truly appreciated. We're proud of you and glad to be a part of the magic you create throughout all of the events you manage for us. Thank you.
All right. Hi, everyone. I also want to give a round of applause for Mary. She's done so much for our team. So thank you, Mary. Hi, everyone. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Maria Schussler, the Event Operations Manager for Greater Iowa City, Inc. here, aka the lady that's sending you all of the emails within the last few months. So thank you for listening to me and reading my emails. I'm honored to stand up here tonight in front of a full room of almost 500 people. We might have actually hit that number. So thank you for being here. This is easily the best part of my job, seeing everyone here celebrating, having a great time all in one place. So thank you again for being here and staying a little bit late. I'd also like to give a thank you to a few of our wonderful vendors that have helped me with some important details of the event. First off, Hyatt Regency for their wonderful hospitality as always. Some of them are sitting back there at table 42. Thank you guys so much. Next is Allegra Printing for the great printing services and quick turnaround on all of our event signage today. I know Tim and Sarah are somewhere in the back as well. Let's give a hand for them as well. And lastly, East Floral and Solon, who put together all of the flower arrangements that you see on your tables. Speaking of, we want all of these to go to good homes. So if you're at a table with a flower arrangement, I need you to take your program and flip them over. And if you have a star, you're welcome to take the flower arrangement home in the center of your table. Or give it to someone else if they would like it instead. Now I'd like to close out the program and want to invite you to keep connecting and celebrating with us at the Watermill Bar just right down the hall. Greater Iowa City ambassadors and staff will look forward to connecting with you more there. Thank you again for coming tonight. Closing it out, please get home safely. Thank you, guys.